It's 8:14. Good morning, everybody. The Chris Moyle Show. It's time to bring in Mr. Calvin Harris. International Radio 1. And here he is. Here is Calvin, 9 foot tall Harris.
Yes. He's tall, isn't he?
Yeah.
Morning. Morning.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
If I'm out, dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun. That's you, that is.
Yeah.
Morning.
Morning.
How was the tour?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Enjoying it?
Yeah.
How long is the tour?
It's 2 months.
Is it really?
Yeah, because half of it's with the band and half of it's I'm just DJing.
Okay.
So I'm in the band half at the moment.
And which do you prefer, or are they just different?
They're very different.
Okay.
They're very different. DJing's good because you get to stare people out until they go off. Whereas playing with the band, you can't really see anyone. Mm. So they're good for different reasons.
So when you play with the band, are they bigger venues than the DJing venues? Or?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And where were you last night?
I was in Brighton.
Okay.
With the band.
With the band and Andy Peters.
Andy Peters?
Andy Peters was Calvin's chicken deliverer yesterday.
Ah, okay. So this indeed was a chicken surprise in the form of Andy Peters.
And there's a photo now going around Twitter of Andy Peters stood in front of Calvin's tour bus. Looking all buff and excited. Right. That's the bus that Andy.
Yeah.
And did he come to the gig? Did he go?
He didn't. He bailed out on me.
Because Calvin very kindly came in and lent his vocals to our parody album.
Mm. Which is very kind of you, so thank you.
It's very nice.
Pleasure.
And whilst he was there in this bizarre studio, he met Andy Peters. And those two got on like a house on fire.
We did.
We really did.
We bonded over Marks and Spencer's pies, sandwiches.
Because you used to work at Marks and Spencer's.
I did, yeah.
Up until like, what, three years ago?
3 years ago.
Wow.
Marks and Spencer's Dumfries. Before that, Marks and Spencer's Clapham South.
Wow.
Those are two different branches.
Yeah.
Clapham South to Dumfries a promotion?
No, I wouldn't say so. I'd say it's a step back.
Right, okay.
Although Dumfries was a bigger store.
Also, and it moved home for you as well, presumably.
Yeah.
Which must have been nice.
I'm from Dumfries, and I'd moved to London, then I ran out of money, then I had to go back to Dumfries. So there was a lot of pain surrounding my transfer to Dumfries.
And now look at you. Money is just, you're just rolling in it. You bathe in it. It's great, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Because you and Dizzy Rascal have formed a partnership, and basically you've taken over the charts.
I don't know about that.
No one else really plays anymore.
We've done two songs.
It's been a phenomenal year.
It's been an amazing year, don't get me wrong.
You've done all right for yourself.
Oh, it's been amazing.
So hang on, so you moved down to London from Scotland, and originally to do what?
I was going to try and get a record deal and try and get people to sing on my instrumentals.
Okay.
And it all went wrong.
And did it all go really badly wrong?
Yeah.
And you ran out of money.
Yeah.
You weren't really working.
No.
And so you had to go all the way back to Scotland.
Yeah.
Go back to live with your parents?
Yeah, mum and dad.
Oh, man. So how long ago is that?
I was 21.
So how old are you now?
I'm 25.
Okay, so I would about say 4 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're good.
Thank you.
Look at you, cracker.
So you come to London, you try and get a record deal, you fail miserably, nobody's interested.
No.
And so you can't get any work.
Uh-huh.
So then you have to move back to live with your mum and dad in your old room.
Age 21.
Move to Marks and Spencer's in Dumfries.
I was driving a 1996 Vauxhall Vectra.
But you didn't give up?
No.
And then, so how did you get back from Dumfries back to London?
Well, I was working during the day, and during the night I would come home and I'd make some songs in my bedroom.
Hmm.
I joined MySpace because everyone else was joining MySpace.
Right.
I started because I had a lot of time on my hands.
Sure. When you live at home.
Yeah. Sure. I started being proactive and adding people and adding people that I thought might work at record labels and then their friends who I thought would probably be involved in the industry somehow
That's
well.
That's clever.
And then eventually I got through and I got a man from EMI Publishing called Felix Howard who ended up signing me.
See, that's great. What a great story. Mm. See, there's the moral, ladies and gentlemen, is even when you're back at your mum and dad's in Dumfries working at M&S during the day, don't give up.
You've got to keep knocking on the door, don't you?
That's true.
Hopefully somebody will answer.
Are there any tracks that you wrote while you were at your mum and dad's in your down period?
Yeah.
in your dark days that we may have heard? That have
Right. The two that were on the MySpace when I got signed were Acceptable in the 80s and The Girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Written where? In your bedroom?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
While Mum and Dad were downstairs watching Highway or whatever it was.
EastEnders.
Peak Practice.
Yeah, that's my dad's one.
You were upstairs going, I like this song. I like this vibe.
Yeah.
And then when you get your deal, do you have to re-record those tracks or do you just...
No. Everything that was on that album, that's how it was.
Wow.
That was a condition of the deal.
Really?
In the end, there was a mini little bidding war and everything. It was amazing.
How weird that your mum and dad are downstairs having their tea on the lap or something like that, and then upstairs you're creating the early stages of a hit factory. Amazing.
It's bizarre.
So what instruments do you play?
I'm kind of a jack of all instruments, but
right.
master of none.
Okay.
I can lend my hand to most things.
But you can make a track out of nothing?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't use any samples or anything.
Right. So you play keyboards?
Yeah, just, you know, if you put anything... I've just got kind of a musical ear, I suppose. So I can pick out
play guitar?
Tunes. Yeah, yeah.
Drums?
Yeah.
Damn, what a talented boy. Mm-hmm. Marks and Spencers don't realise what they had.
Yeah.
I was amazing at M&S.
Because you could have been playing and, you know, helping people with their shopping at the same time.
I was rubbish at helping people.
Oh, really?
I was terrible. Customer service, I was really,
I'm surprised
really
at that, because you're a nice guy. You're, an amiable chap. I would have thought that you'd have...
I don't know. I was pretty miserable.
It was acceptable in the chocolate rolls aisle three. Sorry, where was I? That's right. I think that could be good. I'd like to see that. And now look at you, as Dave said, dominating.
Stop saying
the
that.
British charts. But you're doing very well. You know, you've had massive hits.
How many records have you sold?
Do you know how many records?
No, not altogether.
You have a rough idea.
I know how many albums I've sold.
How many albums have you sold?
Altogether. No, well, it's 260 something.
So a quarter of a million.
Yeah. A lot more singles. I'm a singles kind of guy, I think.
Well, singles is fine. That's all right.
Yeah.
I'm going for the album market myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard.
Yeah. Well, I know. You're on it. Which is very nice of you. So here is the photo, by the way, of Andy Peters doing a Sir Paul McCartney thumbs aloft pose in front of Calvin's tour bus.
Now, I have a small issue with this. Well, it's kind of more on your behalf, is that I think that whoever's done your personalised number plate on the bus has got it wrong, because they've got your initials wrong. They've got CG, and surely
CG.
It should be CH.
It's a happy coincidence that it's C. It's just that it's the initials of the man who owns the bus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can
also as well... Calvin's kind of face logo that he has with the glasses.
It's a bit like Noel Gallagher.
I always think it looks like David Walliams.
Well, yeah, like a cross between Noel Gallagher and David Walliams.
I was thinking if David Walliams was doing a dance DJ, he would look like that in Little Britain. Hi, my name's Calvin Garris. Because obviously with a CJ on the number plate.
CG even.
CG.
CJ would be Calvin Jarris.
That's right, unless you're dyslexic.
Yeah.
You played at Wembley before the NFL game.
I did.
How was that?
It was weird.
So where do you play? On the pitch?
Yeah, we were right in the middle of the pitch on a stage.
And were you DJing or with the...
No, it was a vocal-to-track performance.
Oh, very nice.
You might be aware of.
Very nice. I am aware of that.
For those who don't know, involves somebody pressing a CD of the instrumental.
And you sing
and
over
me
it.
Getting on with the mic, trying to sing
How
over
many
it.
Tracks did you do?
We did two. We did The Girls, followed by I'm Not Alone.
Nice.
At their request. And it didn't really go off, but it was funny.
How many people were there? Was it a packed house?
Like 90,000.
That's ridiculous.
It was silly.
So is that technically the biggest crowd you played to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Great. So you played to your biggest crowd ever, and you said it didn't really go off.
No, it was funny, though. We had 40 American cheerleaders in front of us going mental.
I'd love that.
It was great.
Who cares about what the rest of the crowd think?
Well, this is what I was thinking in my head when I was doing it.
When you've got a view of 40 American cheerleaders,
nothing else really matters.
Not really. Although we've met a few of the cheerleaders over the years, and
we
stuff,
have.
And they are very hit and miss.
Really?
I find. Yeah,
they look great from where I was standing.
And because they just had this NFL game here, the building, Radio 1 building, is covered in cheerleader calendars.
Most of which are on Matt Fincham's desk upstairs. He works with us. Well, he kind of loosely works with us.
We should get the calendars down and see if you recognise any of them.
Okay.
And we could hook you up. No?
I've got a girlfriend.
Oh, you got a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're famous.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, you're allowed several. That's what music.
Yeah, but girlfriend.
Sure.
I wasn't aware of this.
You're allowed five or six.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but girlfriends tend to look down on your involvement with cheerleaders, though, don't they?
Really?
Well, I think that's a general rule.
Mine personally or generally?
I think generally. I don't think it's specific to yours or even...
I don't think... How long have you been with your girlfriend?
Years.
Right, I don't think she would mind if, you know, you...
She might.
Really? Would she kick your ass?
Okay.
Do you live together? And do you live in London again?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. See, mum and dad are just waiting for that failed album to welcome you back. I bet your mum's always saying, we can't change his room because you never know he might be back.
Nah, she changed the room within about a week of me moving out again.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, she loved it.
I must admit, I do like Acceptable in the 80s. I'm going to do that. I'm going to change his room to a spare room. I don't think he'll be coming back here.
That's
your mum, by the way. Please don't tell me she's now Russian. All right, well, look, we've got a lot of things to talk about. We'll talk about your new single, Flashback, and all the remixes, which you seem to be very excited about.
I'm very excited about them.
I know. I'm seriously, on Twitter, I've learned so much about you. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's how we met. That's how Calvin and I met, through Twitter, weirdly.
Which is amazing, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Because it was the fact that Carrie came up with the idea and says, have you tried Twitter? And everyone was like, oh, please.
Shut up, he's not going to reply on Twitter.
And he did.
He did.
And 24 hours later, he's in the studio with Andy Peters. And it changed your life forever.
What exactly?
Right, if you have a question for Calvin, 81199, text in now, and we'll chat more after the Saturdays. It's 8:26. Lots of questions coming in on the text for Calvin. That's the Saturdays, by the way. Do you want to move the desk higher?
Yeah, please.
Calvin Harris is so tall.
He makes me look short.
You are.
Wow.
You're 5'7",
Dave. I don't know if anybody can hear, but we're discreetly hiring the desk.
Pardon?
Is that better? No, it's still not there.
No, I can squat.
Well, just move the mic stand up.
It's as high as it goes.
Yeah, that's it. It's set for me.
Story of my life.
So do that. Move it around like that.
It's not very good.
There you go. See? Move it up. There you are.
Actually, this tightens.
As a good producer, we should have maybe done that during the record.
See, it doesn't stay. It's weak.
A bit floppy, isn't it, that one?
Yeah. Just floppy.
There you go.
This is...
How's that, Calvin? Is that all right?
Go? Yeah, it's great.
We're at chest level.
It's really
the
good.
Desk is now literally up to my nipples.
It's perfect for me.
It's Calvin's waist and my nipples. That's the difference in height between the two of us.
Ah, feels good.
Hi. Hello. There. Hi.
Can finally stand up.
I love Calvin. I can't wait to see him in 13 days. Woohoo, says Vicky in Liverpool.
Amazing.
Yeah. I went to watch Calvin at Bingley Music Live.
That's when I got jeered by your man out of Reverend and the Makers.
He just said, have you made up with the Reverend?
Nah.
No?
He jeered me just before I went on stage.
Why did he do that?
What did he do?
I don't know.
What did he actually do? Did he go,
I went, ooh, him and his band. Shook his fist. Yeah.
Jealousy.
We went off, though. We were amazing.
Well, you know, he's obviously very proud of his hit.
Is that a hit?
Looking at you with your hits.
Yeah.
And he's like that. We'll be like that one day.
I think it's because he's as tall as I am.
Is he a tall boy?
Yeah, he's very tall. He's a lot harder than me as well. I ran up those stairs.
Don't be scared of him. I'm sure he's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, he probably is.
Yeah. And besides, you could probably run away quicker than he could.
Yeah.
I was at Wembley and thought Calvin was quality, says James from Bradford.
Oh, fair enough.
You see?
Fair enough.
There you go. Out of 90,000, that's one happy customer.
I saw them handing out earplugs on the way in.
Somebody said that Calvin's next album shouldn't be called Calvin Harris. It should be not just Calvin Harris. He's M&S Calvin Harris. Tell you what, if you don't get an endorsement, if they don't use one of your tracks now on one of their adverts after all this plug-in they've had.
I'm a much better ambassador than Take That.
Can you ask Calvin, what exactly was it that was acceptable in the 80s?
It's a meaningless song.
Really?
It's born out of two different songs joined together. originally it was except from the 80s, you know, the main hook, it was except from the 80s, and then it had a spoken word bit explaining what was except from the 80s, and it was like this song is the sort of thing that was except from the 80s, and then it said a boring nonsensical hook followed by a terrible vocal, and then the vocal came in. Right. I took that bit out and replaced it with the verse, and it made no sense.
Okay, fine. Well, see, now we cleared it up.
Yeah.
And that's you that sings on it.
Yeah, I sing on everything.
It was acceptable in the 80s.
Well, I do quite a good falsetto.
You're very high.
Yeah.
I can't get that high.
No, that's very high.
It was fascinating watching Calvin recording his vocals for Dance With Me for our album. And him standing there, kind of nodding his head. And then he harmonises on himself.
It's an octave. It's not a harmony, it's like just mode.
Yeah, but it's an octave and then another octave, is that right?
Yeah, the low one, the standard one and the high one.
Did you study music?
No.
See, I don't really know what an octave is.
Oh, you know, octave. Octave.
Is it eight notes, an octave?
This is an octave.
Okay. Yeah.
This is
it makes sense, wouldn't it?
This is an octave.
Right.
This is
an octave. You realise we're actually live on the air right now.
That's fine. I'm just explaining an octave.
Okay.
This is an octave. Everyone needs to know
what an octave. This is an octave.
There you go.
Dave, do you want to have a go at that? Why not? Knock yourself out, Dave.
This is an octave. This is an octave. This is an octave.
Nah, it's a scale.
This is an octave. I always get them mixed up.
Dave, you feel foolish and stupid. Right, more from Calvin in a bit. First of all, we're going to get the news.
Digital. FM. Online.
This is BBC Radio 1.
And we'll play Flashback. Who knows what remix we'll play, as there are about a billion floating around the world. I don't think...
Three.
That's what I said. About a billion is three. Let's get the news from Dominic. It's 8:34.
8:37 now.
Finish the news and sport too quickly.
Oh, sorry.
I'm trying to book tickets for a gig.
Are you? Which gig? What gig?
Shed 7, man.
Oh, of course. I saw for a minute you were booking tickets to go and see Calvin Harris. Yeah.
No, I'll get them free, stood here. I'll just ask him. Can I have tickets? Come and see you.
If you like, we're playing tonight at the Forum.
Brilliant. Oh, what, in London?
Yeah.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah.
I might go.
That's handy for you, isn't
it? Actually, I can't. I'm away. Are you just doing the one night?
Yeah, just the one night.
If you're more popular, I'll be able to come tomorrow. Anyway, no, Shed 7, after Calvin's tour, the big tour is Shed 7.
Right.
Back on tour again.
What dates are you looking at?
Well, they're playing the Forum as well.
This is in London's Kentish Town.
How many nights?
Two.
Oh, you're joking.
I'm going to tell you.
They were massive.
And they haven't released a record for about 12 years.
Had about 20 top 10s, though.
Yeah, do you like them?
Loved Shed 7. Yeah.
Well, let's go. Come on, we'll all go.
Okay.
I'll try and get a table up on the balcony. We'll all go and have a party. You know the ones. If you're going to go, that's the place to be. I feel I'm at some kind of theme park in Giantland, because my radio desk, which normally comes up to my waist, is now literally underneath my nipples. And I feel like a little boy. I feel like it is the first time I ever went to a radio studio. Oh, wow, I can't reach everything. It's all because of Calvin Harris is here, or as they call him, Lanky Harris in the industry. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Let me ask you some questions.
Okay.
Like in an interview.
Oh, wow.
Calvin's new single, Flashback, is released next week, by the way, which we'll play in a minute.
Yeah.
What's your favourite mix of Flashback?
Personally, for me, to play David Guetta's remix, but Eric Prydz's remix for the sonic loveliness.
Now, you had to pay them to remix these tracks.
Yeah, I love it.
Really?
I'm only too happy to pay for good remixes.
See, I've always thought, with bands, they make a track and then someone remixes it, and they go, oh, I like that, it's a bit different. But for you... You literally put element by element together. You do it all on your own, and you make the track. So you make Flashback, and then you give the tape to someone, and then they make and they add to it, and they might add guitar to it. They might add, and then does it still feel like your track though?
No,
right?
No, it's a good thing though. It's a great thing.
So when you play David Guetta's mix of it, do you feel as though you're playing a David Guetta track?
Okay. It doesn't really sound anything like mine, to be honest with you, which is quite nice.
Right,
it's quite nice. It's like having three different songs in one song.
Who's more expensive to remix a track, David Guetta or Eric Prydz?
Well, me and David Guetta did a swap mix, which means I do a mix for him and he does a mix
for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's clever.
It didn't cost anything.
Well, so if Prydz is listening, get your finger out, make a track, Calvin and remix it, and have the money back.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the single is out next week. We're going to play it in a minute. Everyone should go and buy it. Or, if you can't wait, just buy the Ready for the Weekend album.
You should buy that. It's the party album of the decade.
I like that. I love Ready for the Weekend.
Yeah.
Now, tell me the tradition in Scotland and tell the listeners of... you know where I'm going with this.
I think so.
Okay. Of putting butter or margarine around the shoes before you head out on a Friday night.
Okay. The thing about the line in that song, a lot of my songs are born out of, a lot of people do this, I know that when the music is looped around and you're trying to think of something to sing, you often sing nonsense words like, and then you go through it and you think, oh, what words fit in there so that the alliteration is still as good and it kind of flows well. And putting on shoes and getting ready for the weekend was the closest thing to making sense that I could turn.
So putting on shoes.
Yeah, it's I put on my shoes.
See, because we think
no, it's not.
Yeah. No,
it's
it is.
Not. No,
it,
no, you're wrong.
It's butter my shoes.
Butter my shoes. Yeah. I butter my shoes and I'm ready for the weekend.
Yeah.
So we think that maybe it's to do with sliding onto the dance floor or something because you got buttery shoes and it would enable you to move easier.
Yeah, it's like Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, he used to have margarine on there.
Yeah, because he went for the low fat alternative.
And somebody said to him, "I can't believe it's not butter," and he went.
Yeah. That's a true story.
He wanted to cut down on his polyunsaturates as well.
Because I wasn't sure if it was... I put on my tunes and I'm ready for the weekend.
Okay. That would be good as well.
Okay. Yeah. It would be good, wouldn't it?
Should have thought of that, mate.
Sorry.
Just a little one for you. You can have that if you want.
It's a bit obvious, though, isn't it?
No.
Apart
from putting on shoes?
Yeah.
Is that not obvious?
No.
I put on my shoes and I'm ready for the weekend. I think you're fine. If you were to do a poll around the UK... What makes you feel ready for the weekend, Dominic? Putting on records or putting on your shoes?
Exactly. Well, point made.
Shoes.
See, it's all well and good sitting in your bedroom making your tracks, but unless you do some research out in the street with real people...
Okay.
Hello.
You've got to communicate.
Hello.
Switch off your keyboards and your computers.
And graphic equalizers.
Get out and talk to people.
Yeah. No, you know? I don't like talking to people.
I bet if you said to your girlfriend, Fallon... What puts you in the mood for the weekend? Shoes or music?
Oh, she loves shoes.
Yeah, all right.
Every woman loves her shoes.
Have you had to buy her an expensive pair of shoes?
I haven't had to.
Oh,
I've done it out of choice and love.
Okay. What make did she make you buy?
What was it? Jimmy Choo.
Calvin's missus is in the Jimmy Choo. Will she be listening now? Will she be up?
Nah, she'll be in bed.
Oh, right, okay, brilliant.
In bed, like any sensible person.
Oh, by the way, Alad has an issue with you for putting on Twitter. I'll be doing the Chris Moore show in the morning if anybody's awake at that time.
No, I didn't say listening. It like that. See, this is why Twitter's sometimes a problem and the things that I say are taken in the wrong way.
9 million.
Well, exactly.
Okay, have you played in the following places? Athens.
Yeah.
Paris.
Yeah.
Ibiza.
Yes.
Vancouver.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Japan.
Yeah.
New York.
Yeah.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Norwich.
Yeah.
And Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Wow. What a list. You should have had a t-shirt made.
I love Norwich.
I was born in Norwich, Calvin.
It was a great gig.
Where do you reckon he played in Norwich?
The UEA.
UEA, I was going to say.
Great. Shut up, you, mouth.
Sorry.
I'm asking Dominic.
That's the kind of biggest venue, really, isn't it? Is that where you were?
Yeah, that is where I was.
All right, fine.
It's always meant to be brilliant.
It was great.
That's the end of that game. Are you producing Katy Perry's next album?
No.
Is that rumour?
Yeah, okay. that was lies.
Okay, I'll just cross that out. Are you playing at the O2 Arena on New Year's Eve?
Yes.
And then in Blackpool on Boxing Day?
Yeah. And Liverpool.
And Blackpool and Liverpool.
Yeah. And I've got a summer fitting my mum's turkey sandwiches in the morning. It's going to be a big day.
Hang on, where's your mum going to be?
Dumfries.
So you're going to be DJing...
And we go from Dumfries to Liverpool to Blackpool, or to Blackpool to Liverpool.
That would make more sense.
And then back home.
That's crazy.
Food and music.
Crazy bananas. Okay, true or false?
Okay.
You played on the Hollyoaks set... but found it not experienced because you couldn't tell if you were speaking to the characters or the real people.
I find it very confusing. They've got this show that's presented by cast members of Hollyoaks from the Hollyoaks set.
Right.
But they're not in character. You're speaking to them on the set, like at the driving by.
Right.
Which, you know, to all intents and purposes is a real shop. It's right. Got it full of stuff.
Sure.
And you're talking to them, but they're not. They're the actors. But they're acting like they're not the actors. I find it really, really hard to deal with.
Sure.
But that's the thing with people on telly, is I think you should always just call them by the names that you know them, always by the character
name. Yeah.
And just forget that they're actual people behind that.
True or false?
Mm.
You live in London now.
Yeah, true.
True or false? You turned down Lady Gaga when she approached you for tracks.
No, that's not really true. No.
Really?
No. Well, they sent me a song that was for our album, and they said, do you want to do some additional production on it? And usually when you get asked to do additional production, they've got like a really bad song.
Right. Mm.
And they want you to try and basically polish a turd.
Right, okay.
Mm.
And I said, well, if I did this, my claim to fame would be I worked on the worst song on the Lady Gaga album. So I said no.
Do you know the one that you skip on the album? Yeah.
Yeah.
I made that.
That was me. I did the cowbell.
What track would that be, Alan? The worst track on Lady Gaga's album.
Anything, I can't get to the mic.
What's the skip track?
Anything after 9, I stop at 9, because I think they go downhill from there.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
I think it was 10 they wanted you to work on.
Mm. Or 12.
12.
And true or false, finally, you opened Tina Park's main stage and it went off.
I didn't open it, I was after Bjorn again.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And before Lady Gaga, as it happens.
Did Lady Gaga, when you were coming off, did she go like that? And turn her back on you?
Sort of.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you seen Lady Gaga naked?
No.
Okay, just curious.
Have you?
No. Anyway, so...
What made you ask that? Mm.
What?
What made you ask that?
Do you know, it's a question on many people's lips.
Really?
Okay, I'm going to play... okay, now... Alan, Dominic and Dave.
Yeah.
Hi.
Would you like to hear by Calvin Harris or
the Eric Prydz mix
by Calvin Harris?
The Eric Prydz mix.
See, he knows when he pays
on
for
November the 2nd.
I'd like to hear the
song essential new tune.
I'd like to hear the latter of the two.
No, you wouldn't.
Is that the second one?
You want to hear the original?
Yeah. I think I'd rather hear the original. I was going to say that. More instant.
What did you want to hear, Dom?
Well, I want to see the second one. The Eric,
I find that slightly offensive. It's 8 minutes long as well.
Oh, 5.5 here.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, we've chopped it.
An edit.
You don't want to listen to an edit then. You really need the full 8 minutes to
experience
the
original. I
tell you what, I want to DJ in clubs. 8 minute long track. You can go outside, have a couple of fags.
Read a book.
Move the car, you know.
Mm.
Come back, it's still playing.
Yeah.
That's what they do, don't they? Do they still do that at clubs?
They do. Some people do that. I choose not to.
Do you do that with
the
mic?
I just do it down the mic, yeah.
I know a boat shop where you can buy those air horns if you like.
Okay.
Mm.
I used to get them from a garage.
Have you got a smoke machine as well, Dave?
Yeah.
You do that?
I don't do that, right. No.
This makes us a bit boring.
Well, play the other one.
Yeah, we should play the original.
Yeah, it is boring.
See, nice
now we're cooking. save your money on the Prydz man next time. Just make yours 8.5 minutes long. Deal. I'm coming round and now my vision is so clear. This is like a flashback. Yeah. This is like a dream. I found old Pete Tong's jingles. This is like a Are you a Pete Tong fan?
I love Pete Tong. Pete Tong was the first man to play a song by me on the radio.
Was he?
Yeah.
And in return, he got to voice the advert for your album.
He did?
Yeah.
That's fair enough, I think.
Essential.
That must be weird. You're sitting in your bedroom listening to Tongy on a Friday, and then a few years later, you're sitting listening to Pete Tong in your bedroom on a Friday, and he's playing your track.
Yeah, it was pretty odd.
Did you hear him play it?
I did.
What
did
he play?
I knew he was going to play it. He played the original mix of The Girls, which was really slow, and it sounded terrible next to everything else. So I went back and made it better.
And the rest is history.
Essential.
I just found all these great Pete Tong jingles that if anybody knows, like, I've just been playing them and Calvin's laughing off the air. Because there's things from Pete Tong's show that are just embedded in your brain subliminally over the years.
You know that Pete Tong?
Yeah.
He got power.
Power.
Which I always thought was Naina Cherry, but I've no idea if it is.
You know that Pete Tong? He got power.
Sounds like her,
sounds
actually.
Like her.
Good. But do you know who this is as well?
Essential.
Do you know that? No. Luke Goss. From Bros.
No,
wow. Right, so Calvin's playing the Radio 1 little game, the little driving game.
Yeah.
Have you managed to complete it yet?
I've done one. And it wasn't very good.
What was your time?
54.
Very poor.
Yes, 1.8. I beat that.
Yeah, you did beat that.
No, have you actually beat it?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay, all right.
I got 50.95.
If you want to follow Calvin on Twitter, he is very easy to remember. He is Calvin Harris.
Yeah.
All you got to do is find the Calvin Harris, which has about 120,000 followers, and that'll be the real Calvin Harris as opposed to a fake Calvin Harris.
Yeah.
And if you want to go and see him on tour, why not go and go and buy tickets and see
him? They're kind of sold out.
Well, you know, do you know what? Don't bother. Go and see him when he's DJing instead.
Come and stand outside.
There you go. Are you sure you want
to be on the way in? Yeah,
so tonight in the Forum in London, why not go and stand outside while everybody else goes inside and watches a gig?
Why would anyone want to go and do that?
What you can do, actually, if you got the Forum in London, if you stood looking at the Forum, if you take a left, there's a couple of burger places and a decent boozer there. So you could just go in there and then come back at the end. But chances are you're not going to see him.
I don't know.
Really?
I hang about at the end for ages.
Do you?
I'd sign anything that anyone would sign. Apart from yesterday, Dizzy was doing a gig. Dizzy Rascal was doing a gig two doors down from me.
Right.
And people were coming out of the Dizzy Rascal gig with Dizzy Rascal tickets and trying to get me to sign the Dizzy Rascal tickets. And I said, no, thank you. I'll sign anything else. It's principle, mother.
But if you check to see if he came out of his gig and he was signing Calvin Harris tickets.
Well, no, because the flow of the people, they didn't go the other way. They just went past me on the way to the bus stop.
Stop whinging.
Yeah, it was awful. Oh, it was awful.
Are you going to do any more stuff with Dizzy?
I don't know. I hope so. It's good fun.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
So you work on the track.
Yeah.
Send it to him.
Yeah.
And he just sticks his rap on it. He just writes something and does it.
In a nutshell.
And but sends it back to you.
Yeah.
You mix it.
Yeah.
And go, I'm not sure about that line. And he goes, shove off.
Hmm.
You go, fine. And then out it goes.
Sort of. It tends to be I send him a version and then he sends back all of these things that I need to change. And then I go and I change things and I send it to him again. He goes, yeah, well, what if we try this? And I go, well, that probably won't work. It's just one of those kind of things.
And when you make a track, because it must be weird if you make a track. You must have a certain idea of, like you say, if you're going do 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 do, you must have rough lyrics in your head. And then you send it to Dizzy, then Dizzy writes something completely different. Is that
the thing about Dance With Me though? He'd already done the whole vocal for it.
Right.
He'd done both the verses and he sent me an a cappella. So I fit the music round his lyrics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he just did the rap over just a beat?
He just had a beat, and the whole reason he wanted to do that song is because he thought the lyrics were too good for the beat that he had, and could I do a beat that was a bit better? So that was the challenge.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow, yeah. Mm.
It doesn't always work like that. It's very, very rare.
We should do a track together.
Should we?
Yeah. And Dave, I'll get you in on it, Dave.
Hi.
You can be on it.
We sort of have, haven't we?
Well, we kind of have. We kind of stole your track, but...
Done a track with Andy Peters.
Covered it.
Borrowed.
What?
I've done a track with Andy Peters.
What, for mine?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to give anything away.
Okay. Sorry.
It's hidden on the album. Or hidden off the album, as we like to No, Calvin Harris appears on my forthcoming album, but not on a track with me, but it's on a track with Camilla Ice. Mm. Our very own Carrie.
My favourite moment of Newquay, when we went down and did the outside broadcast, was Camilla Rice coming on stage to your song, and it was just brilliant.
Dressed in like a proper, like, evening dress. Long gloves and everything.
We should have seen it. Sounds amazing.
She looked a bit like Madonna in the Material Girl video, didn't she?
Yeah. With the emphasis on little bit, like Madonna.
Well, she didn't have the gloves, did she?
Or did she?
And the twins, she did.
The twins carried her on the surfboard.
Yeah. Carried on by two men. She was on a surfboard and two hunky topless fellas. That's the way to make an entrance.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that tonight, the Forum?
Yeah.
Do you have entrance music for your gigs?
I've got a big intro. I do. I come out to a big intro. It's amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It worked really well, apart from when we played Preston. And the minute I walked on stage, after this 2.5 minute long ambient intro, big crescendo, loads of white noise, I come on like in my Jesus pose, and I got hit in the neck by a pint of cider. Oh, it was horrible. It's horrible.
So don't do that tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Just give him nothing but love and affection when you see him. Matt, nice to see you. Thanks
nice
for coming
to see
in.
You. Thank you.
So tonight, playing in London, feel free to go and hang out. And if you've been to see Dizzy Rascal recently and you've kept your ticket, bring it along for Calvin to sign tonight and really
that.
Freak him out.
Peterborough? What? Really? Tonight?
The single Flashback is out next week if you can't wait, as I said, or indeed why not also get the album ready for the weekend, which has got all the hits on it apart from Acceptable in the 80s and The Girls, obviously, because that's on I Created Disco, which is the first album. I think I've done enough plugging.
Essential.
Yeah Calvin Harris, lovely to see you. Good luck, man.
Thank you.
Morning, Calvin Harris.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
I'm good, how are you?
I am great. Did you watch Strictly Come Dancing at the weekend?
I missed it, I skyplast it.
Oh, did you? What, were you out with mates and stuff?
Yeah, just, you know, just an average kind of Saturday night.
Yeah.
keep low profile.
Are you currently lying in bed?
No, I just got up.
You're right.
I'm fine. I'm great.
You do sound shattered.
Do I?
Yes.
I had a gig last night, quite a late one.
Where were you?
I was in Romford.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, it was good.
It's a DJ gig rather than a band gig.
Yes.
All right, yes, sir. What time are you on stage?
It was like midnight for a couple of hours.
You know, he's one of the hardest working men in show business.
I know he is.
Some would say greedy, but others would say
hard working. You have to take it while it's there, Calvin.
Exactly. Strike while the iron's hot.
All right, well, look, we had to get you on and talk about your appearance... albeit brief appearance on X Factor on Saturday. Have you seen it back yet?
Yeah.
Are you happy or disappointed?
It did everything I wanted to achieve.
Right.
Which was nothing.
Now, you were there because you were set to appear on the Extra Factor, were you not?
I was. Well, I was backstage. I was waiting to go on and I was listening to everyone taking it incredibly seriously. I was just inspired to make a mockery of the show. Because it's a music competition, it is a joke. And I think it should be treated as such. So when people were saying, sort of, oh, John and Edward, oh, maybe they deserve to stay this week, I was thinking, are you watching what I'm watching? It's terrible. It's terrible. I need to get out of there and make, you know, basically, for the greater good of the nation, I wanted to go out there and make an idiot of myself and sort of just bring the whole show into another kind of area in which it's treated as a kind of a joke show.
What's your take on John and Edward? Obviously, you don't rate them musically, but do you think that they have a place in the competition, the show, for entertainment?
Yeah. But as entertainment goes, it's not... It's pretty much down there with the worst. But compared to everybody else, and you know, they're there and it's funny, but I've noticed as the weeks go on, it's become knowingly funny, whereas first it was kind of like, oh, John and Edward, oh, they're rubbish, they should get out of there, and they were doing these terrible performances, and it was hilarious. And then the producers kind of cottoned on to it eventually, occasionally they do, and they started to kind of make scenarios in which they thought it would be funnier to put them in, and it wasn't, which was a shame.
You know, in a weird way, though, you may have helped John and Edward to stay in next week.
Well, this is what I want to do. I want them to win.
You do want them to win?
Yeah, I'd love them to win.
Okay.
Because where can they go from there? Where can X Factor go from there? It's not a music competition.
Would you like to see the demise of X Factor as a show?
I think if you look, and I mean this, obviously I release singles, I try and get in the charts and all this kind of stuff, but separating me from that, I'm a fan of music, I'm a fan of pop music, and if you look at the chart and you look at the frightening stranglehold that Simon Cowell's got over the entire music chart in the UK at the moment, it's really, I mean, it's impressive, but it's really frightening at the same time. And it would be nice to see him use that power a little bit more creatively and maybe use, I don't know, interesting producers of music to make songs, because pretty much whatever he puts out by Leona or whoever is going to do incredibly well. So why not try and make the most amazing music that anyone's ever heard in their life? I think it just shows that he's not really a music fan.
But I think by his own, and not defending Simon, but I think by his own admission that he makes popular stuff. He's not there to make groundbreaking music.
Why can't he make groundbreaking music popular? The permission he's, the position he's put himself in, he could change the whole country musically and make it amazing. And it's annoying that he's not doing that. He's pretty much just releasing the same records again and again and again.
So you have a fairly serious point that you've obviously thought through long and hard. So explain to me where the pineapple came in.
The pineapple was to mimic the hair. I was the only available tool at the time in order to mimic John and Edward's hair. To be honest, it did an incredible job.
I don't think any other fruit could have mimicked their quiff in such a way.
Well, no, you're right.
Now, did you bring the pineapple or did you acquire it while you were there?
I was doing a gig in Birmingham, and I love JLS, right? I love them. I think they're amazing. And I've met them a couple of times, really nice lads. And I was doing this gig up in Birmingham, this radio thing, and they were the first ones on, and the crowd went crazy, and it had to get cancelled. The police called it off. And backstage, I don't know why, but you know, you have your little rider, your fruit, and your chocolate bars or whatever, and they had a pineapple, but with no instrument in which to open the pineapple or anything like that. There's just a pineapple sat there in amongst the fruit.
I hate that when you get a pineapple in your rider, but you don't get the pineapple opener.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate that.
So I just took it with me. I just sort of took it with me. We were there. We were in and out because the thing was cancelled. And I just had a pineapple on my person for the rest of the day.
Are there not security checks that prevent you from bringing a pineapple into the studio?
I've got to say, no, there weren't. I mean, possibly...
They were happy with you to bring the pineapple in.
I mean, here's another sort of practicality question, because surely it's too big to possibly put in your coat pocket, so did you physically walk in with it in your hand?
I did. I had the pineapple brazenly in my hand, Dave. I just walked in there with a pineapple in my hand, and I sat down, and the pineapple was there for the whole show.
Simon Cowell said, I don't know if you heard his quote, but he said, oh, it's probably just some idiot trying to get publicity out of the show, which I thought was heavily ironic.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, it could be seen that way, but, I mean, you know me, I'm not a publicity kind of guy. I'm not an attention seeker. I'm never at the film premieres or the parties around London.
If you were genuinely doing it for the publicity, you would have run on wearing a T-shirt saying "Buy my album" or something.
Well, yeah, exactly. Or you know, Flashback Out Now, or Ready for the Weekend, the album available now, and all.
Sure,
which
you wouldn't do.
But I didn't do that.
No, tell me, did they frog march you out the building?
Oh, mate, they did it properly. They did it really well. they made it clear that it was time for me to leave.
So what happens? So you get on the stage, you do your thing, and let's be honest, you were, in a weird way, as far as stage gate crashing goes, you were very respectful in it, because you came on, you didn't touch them, you kind of did a little shaky hip movement, a little bum wiggle, and then you legged it, and you went. It was like, it literally blink and you miss it. Well, so when you get off, what happens?
Well, you know, I know what it's like to be on stage, and I've had stage invaders before, you know, as well as, you know, the many things that get thrown on stage or whatever, so I knew how I was going to go about it. I didn't want to ruin the performance. I just wanted to, you know, make it clear what was going on. And I found it kind of bizarre how it all happened, because I got on really easily. I was watching security, and I thought, this is really bad. I could probably go on without too much trouble, and I did. I got on, I did my little thing. I noticed that nobody was coming to get me. Nobody was trying to push me off or anything. I mean, that's like the main thing. That half the reason you've got a backline crew is to push off stage invaders, you know. But it didn't happen, so I went off of my own accord. I exited stage right. I walked down, went back through the door that I'd come in earlier. I said hello to some people that were watching on the monitor. And then in came security about 2 minutes late. I was waiting for them, basically. I was waiting for them to take me out because I forgot which door to go in.
Calvin, you know when you do the Extra Factor, in my experience, they very kindly...
Well, he doesn't know because he never did it.
No, but hang on, listen. When you do it, they very kindly, they send you a car and they get you a car home. Now, because you were sort of asked to leave, did they bring your car forward and still have a car?
We had our own car because we were going to a gig afterwards. To be honest with you, if I'd been on that show as well, I might have missed the time I was maybe at the gig, so it probably worked out for the best.
Oh, do you know what, Calvin? It was very funny, but in a weird way, as I do say, and I really mean it, it was a very respectful stage invasion. and I've got to say, in respect to John and Edward, who you do want to win, but in respect to them, they were very unfazed by the whole thing. And one of them, John or Edward, I don't know which was which, kind of looked and smiled, but they carried on. They didn't flinch.
No. It was amazing.
So weirdly, maybe they are the most professional people on that show because they didn't panic, they didn't flinch, they carried on.
There's only one way to find out, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I heard this morning someone said that when John and Edward were interviewed, they thought that Calvin and the pineapple were part of their routine. They just hadn't noticed it in the warm up.
Surely they should pay more attention in rehearsal then, shouldn't they, if that's the case?
Yeah, Brian Friedman, he choreographs and goes, Did I put a pineapple in there? Did I do that? Oh, mate. Well, listen, it was very funny, and I'm glad that I certainly don't endorse any kind of behaviour such as that. Mm. But look out for me plugging my album on Strictly Come Dancing on Saturday when I fly down the banister with an advert for it on my backside. So be looking
out for
that.
With a couple of peaches.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of massive peaches. What are you doing for the rest of the day, Calvin?
I'm doing a photo shoot today, which is one of my least favourite things to spend my time doing.
I've heard a rumour that John and Edward are going to gate crash the photo shoot.
Oh, they do.
With a massive
gig tonight as well.
Where are you playing tonight?
I'm Brighton tonight.
Oh, have a good gig, pal.
Thank you.
Calvin, do you still have the pineapple from Saturday?
I've got half of it. I was going to auction it on eBay for Great Ormond Street Hospital.
You should do.
That's nice.
I don't know if it's maybe taken it a bit too far.
Do you know what? It's nice. It would be a nice little thing.
I
help them out with their song. I think you should.
Okay.
All right, and listen, have a good day.
Thank you. You too. All right.
Goodbye, my friend.
Take care.
Calvin Harris,
bye.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Bye.
Legends.
Alan, what do you want to say about it?
Do you know, I feel slightly nervous about this.
About?
I'm thinking, I see his thoughts, but you know, John and Edward didn't know his thoughts. They didn't know what he was trying to do or stand up for them. That could have been, first of all, scary, and I'd definitely thrown them.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely
right. You clearly don't agree.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree. But it was also very, very funny.
It is funny, but I think it's a bit, I don't know, could have gone wrong.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Okay.
But it was very, very funny.
It's like I hate Jarvis Cocker for doing that to Michael Jackson.
No, I don't.
On that stage.
I don't.
I remember when that performance
there was a difference. To be fair, there was a difference when Michael Jackson surrounds himself with young children who are adoring him, and he basically is giving the impression that he is Jesus surrounded by loving children and he's saving the world. And Jarvis Cocker runs on next to him and, to make a mock of it, sticks his bum towards a crowd and starts playing butt bongo on himself. I think is absolutely apt.
The execution was similar, but I think the motive in those cases was very different.
Whereas John and Edward, you know, it's a different thing entirely.
Okay.
But you must see Calvin's point.
I see his point. I just hope that John and Edward saw his point as
they
it was
didn't
happening.
Flinch. They absolutely didn't flinch. I was so impressed with John and Edward. And afterwards, they're like, I find it weird to some guy sat in the audience waiting for his moment whilst holding a pineapple, which I think is very funny. Hang on, where is it? Where's the clip? Here's the clip.
The idiot jumped off from the audience. It didn't even faze you guys.
Someone wastes their whole night with a pineapple in the audience and goes, oh my God, I'm so going for this. Like, guys, is that the best you can do?
I think that's really funny. Mm. How do you feel about it, John Edward?
I just feel sorry for the guy had to sit there for the whole show holding the pineapple. Did anybody hold the pineapple for him and hand it to him? The
pineapple had its own seat, I heard.
It's very difficult to hold a pineapple for a good hour.
And Simon says...
The idiot who wanted publicity. Unfortunately, he's got it.
Yes, he has. Anyway. Hey, look, you know, we're more than welcome to give Simon some publicity, but he won't come on the show, whereas Calvin Harris is quite happy to do a phone call out of his pit at 8 o'clock in the morning. Anyway. So, yeah, I might... What can I... I really like the idea of going on a TV show. Can I break onto the news with some pears?
It's not advised.
I've got pears!
I wouldn't go for news.
Really?
Other entertainment programmes.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
More lighthearted.
Yeah. Alan Titchmarsh, something like that.
Yeah.
Look at my bananas!
What about Final Score?
Do you know what? If I go on Alan Titchmarsh show, he'd probably lamp me one. I'd probably be out on the floor cold, surrounded with bananas.
What about Paul O'Grady, This Morning? You could definitely do it on This Morning.
Well, you know, the This Morning one is so simple because you just go out onto the to the River Thames. You just go and stand on the pavement, and if you get the right shot, away you go. And you could show your plums to millions. Like,
you hire a promotional boat and go down the Thames with
Carrie,
your message.
I'm not sure this is the message.
However, I've got to be honest. You could indeed do that, but at the same time, it's very cold.
Yeah.
And what's the point?
Mm. Exactly.
Plus, Calvin's done it, so you don't do it now. That's the thing. Weirdly, he stopped other people from doing it.
Yeah. Other fruit-based jokes.
Well, yes. No one's ever done it to Brits since, have they? You imagine someone goes to run on next week and they've got, like, a massive melon, and security goes, you know, someone did that last week. Oh, did they? Oh, rubbish.
I didn't see that. Rubbish.
What about cucumber? Anyone done that?
Would it not be an easier way to maybe just post it on Twitter to your 300,000 or whatever followers?
Yeah, yeah. Hi, I'm about to go on This Morning holding a massive plum, but I can't be bothered. So here's a picture of me.
With a plum.
With a plum, and you can imagine the scenario yourself. Anyway, nice. Calvin Harris, ladies and gentlemen. What a nice man. Alan's still not so sure, though. He's not so sure.
No.